Hey, what's going on, everybody? Alan Kenny, managing editor with CrystalBallRun.com, the Blog UN Network's national college football blog. All week, we've been previewing the Big 12, so I wanted to bring on one of my favorite guests and a guy who's right there in the middle of Big 12 country, and figured who better to help us kind of sort out the conference race and whatnot for this upcoming season. Ben Kercheval of College Football Talk. Ben, what's going on, man?
How much, Alan? How are you?
Doing well, man. Thanks so much for coming on. Yeah, so I want to start off, first of all, let's talk maybe in the bigger picture of things, you know, kind of looking across the landscape. You know, you can't really have a discussion about college football anymore without talking about conferences. Mm-hmm. I mean, where do you think, you know, Bob Stoops made a point, for example, about the depth of the Big 12 earlier this year. I mean, you know, I guess my question would be, do you think that he was onto something earlier this year when he was talking about it being a difficult conference in terms of, you know, the round robin and whatnot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think he had a point. The problem with the point is that nobody looks at the bottom half of your conference when you're talking about strength. Everyone looks at the top half, and so everyone's going to start pointing to the SEC, and that's that point's a little bit twofold. In that one, you know, SEC's won past seven national championships, so right there, whether it's a legitimate argument or not about the overall depth of your conference, people are going to point to that. And the second part is the top six, I think, had like 10 or 11 wins each. Mm-hmm. You know, but the flip side of that, and where I think Bob Stoops really, his point really had a lot of teeth and merit, was that nobody in the bottom half of the SEC was able to upset someone in the top half. So you had a lot of really great teams up top, and then just not a lot of substance underneath of it. Whereas you had, was it 9 bowl teams last year in the Big 12? And when you play everybody, obviously, you know, that it works out a little bit more in that, you know, that way, rather than playing 8 conference games and then a conference championship game. But you had, a handful of teams that finished like 7-5 or 8-5. And those were quality teams, Texas Tech, TCU, which had threw a lot of guys into the fire last year, mm-hmm. and could be a Big 12 competitor at the top this year. So there were some great teams. West Virginia, for all of their faults, had a lot of great talent on offense that if their defense had just been up to snuff a little bit more, probably could have been a 9 or 10 win team. So I do think that there was a lot of depth in the Big 12 last year, and maybe even the year before that, when Oklahoma State won the Big 12 and then, you know, beat Stanford in the Fiesta Bowl. And it looks like, because of the way that the conference looks to project this year being as wide open as it is, you could have another year where top to bottom, Kansas is a little bit of a wild card. They've been the bottom dweller, but with so many JUCO kids coming in, you're not really sure what kind of team you're going to get out of the Jayhawks this year. But generally speaking, you're talking about 9 teams that you could probably put, I don't know in any order necessarily, but, you know, in some tiers, and you can mix it up within those tiers. I mean, I think there are probably 3 teams that could compete for a Big 12 championship this year. There are another 3 teams that I wouldn't even come close to counting out. So it's very wide open. And I think as a result of that, the Big 12 is the deepest conference in college football. If it's not the deepest, it's very much among the deepest. And I would put it up there with, you know, with the strongest conferences in the country.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, too, where, you know, when you factor in that you're playing 9 conference games plus, you know, generally most of these programs schedule a game against another AQ conference team. I mean, that's 10 games against AQ schools, you know, when you add it all up. I mean, that's definitely a tall order. So you mentioned you got 3 teams that you think are right there, you know, right around the top of the heap. What 3 are those?
I have Oklahoma State, TCU, and Texas.
All right, let's start off with the Longhorns. You know, this is a team, I mean, all the numbers, everything on paper, you know, says to me, you know, says this is the team to pick to win the conference. I mean, they've got incredible experience from top to bottom. Of course, they've also got a lot of talent. The schedule even breaks their way. Is this the year that Texas, you know, gets back on track, you think?
You know, Phil Steele said last year he thought he was real high on Texas, if I remember correctly, in his preseason magazine. I thought they were about a year away. So I thought 2013, if there was going to be a year that they were going to compete for a Big 12 championship, I thought it was going to be this year. I still think that I don't think anyone in this comp, let me put it this way. I don't think if there's a team that wins the Big 12 this year, I don't think they go 10 wins or over. I think this is a year where a 9-3 team wins, or you have two or three teams sort of co-sharing the Big 12 title. So I like Texas's chances because of the talent and how wide open it is this year. Like you said, the schedule works out a little bit in their favor, but there's just nothing. It's a little bit of I'm sort of putting them out there, but the last couple of years have given me such a reservation about this, not just the team, just the program. It's sort of like a fool me once, fool me twice sort of thing. You know, we've talked about this before a little bit, Alan. I think they're undercoached, and there's just nothing about the Longhorns that just wows me.
Yeah.
I think they can win. I think they can win the Big 12, but there's nothing about them that blows me away.
Yeah, there's just something about it. You watch them play, and, you know, you're just always left thinking, like, that's it. You know, I mean, there's just something that I don't know. You know, I mean, but
it's like Flight of the Conchords. Is that it?
Yeah, exactly.
You're trying to say
that's it. Yeah, no, that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Business time, but you know, this. I mean, you know, Texas hasn't exactly been taking anybody. You know, I mean, if you look at the past couple years when they've been winning games, you know, I think they've won a total of what, like 17 games the past two seasons. But I mean, like, I can't pick like one game out where I was like, you know, really wowed by the way they played. And it's just I don't know. I just have a hard time. I'm with you in that I have a hard time seeing him kind of get over that hump. There's just not much that really wows you about this team.
Yeah, they're talented in it. My gosh, if it hadn't been for Alex Okafor just going bananas in the fourth quarter of the Alamo Bowl last year, you know, we'd be talking about an 8-5 team coming into 2013, and clearly there's talent. I mean, they have it on both sides of the ball. That's not the issue. Individually, they were talented for some reason, especially on defense. It didn't quite add up sort of on the whole with Manny Diaz and what he wanted to do. And then I would look at the other side of the ball and sort of say the same thing with Applewhite and Harsin. And I've always sort of felt, and you know, I'm not so close to the program that, you know, maybe I'm wrong on this. I've always sort of felt that Brian Harsin, I always thought that was a little force-fed. Not Brian Harsin, sorry, Major Applewhite. Major Applewhite, I always thought that was a little force-fed. And so now that, you know, Brian Harsin's gone to Arkansas State, I wonder what this offense is going to look like this year. So, and the thing about Texas is the Big 12 top to bottom is mostly a finesse conference, especially on offense. And it's not a conference known for great defense. And I would say that there's one team in the Big 12 right now that really plays a power game, and that's Kansas State. Well, Kansas State has owned Texas over the past few years. And so what stands out to me about Texas is that they're just not a very tough team. And I hate to use the word, you know, the phrase not tough or soft or whatever, because I think that's kind of demeaning to the guys who put in all the work and practice and do everything like they're supposed to do, but they just haven't been able to take down Kansas State. And when it comes down to the Red River Rivalry in Dallas, not only can they not beat Oklahoma more often than they do, but they get the clocks cleaned. Yeah. And so when it comes to really digging in and out-toughing the other team, just over the past few years, and maybe even before that, when Colt McCoy and Vince Young was there, and they were just able to mask it so well with one individual player, but they haven't been able to out-tough the competition. And that's just, I think that's something that starts from the top down.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. One team that doesn't lack for toughness, if you watched them last year, is TCU. I mean, this is a team that went through so much upheaval a year ago. Still managed to come out with a decent record. Not certainly not, I'm sure, what the Horned Frogs were hoping for, but And I mean, a team that played a lot of the top teams pretty close.
Yeah.
You mentioned this is a team that you think could win the conference. Do you think that TCU has enough depth to get through a full year in the Big 12, though?
That's a good question. It's a good question. I'm not sure. They were so young and inexperienced last year, and then on top of that, you think about probably Casey Paulhall is probably is arguably the best quarterback in the Big 12. He was gone. I mean, you had to put Trayvon Boykin in there, and Trayvon Boykin, the way he played last year, he probably could have started for most teams. Mm-hmm. He just happened, he happened to be the number two guy. So that's a great question. I would say that of the two new additions, TCU and West Virginia, I think that the Horned Frogs came into the Big 12 and for the foreseeable, the immediate future of 2-3 years, I think they are more capable of getting through the Big 12 with what they have, more so than West Virginia. I looked at West Virginia last year, and outside of the big three that they had with Stedman and Geno and Tavon, that was a team of generally Big East players. Mm-hmm. Generally Big East caliber players. I've always felt within the past few years that, recruiting aside, Gary Patterson finds these gems and he's able to morph guys into what he wants to do schematically. But I thought from a talent standpoint that TCU has had a team that you don't want to mess with even before they were in the Big 12. So... God, man, my phone's ringing. I'm a popular guy.
Yeah. I'm so glad you set aside some time for me, man. I really appreciate it, man.
No, it's cool. So I think that TCU has had a really good football team over the past few years. So I think that for the immediate future, yeah, I think they can get through a Big 12 schedule, no problem.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a matter of even, recruiting really well, insofar as Gary Patterson seems to know exactly what he wants in the guys that he goes after.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's right there in the middle of that Dallas-Fort Worth area. There's, as well as anybody, there's a lot of good talent there and a lot of those kinds of athletes that he can, kind of zero in on that fit his scheme so well. I mean, just watching that team, they are always so well prepared. They do everything so well. I mean, they're just so sound fundamentally. It's really kind of scary to watch. He's very much his teams are very much like Kansas State, for example. I mean, that's where Patterson kind of cut his teeth. Yeah. And it's a very, very quality program. I mean, if he was at a bigger name school, watch out, man.
I would say watch out for TCU as long as Patterson's there. And that was the funny thing to me about Patterson was when the Arkansas job came open after they let John L. Smith go, and everyone started talking about Gary Patterson as Gary Patterson. I'm like, now that you're in the Big 12 and you have the exposure to maybe at least get the attention of some of the recruits that you couldn't before. Not that they couldn't recruit before, but now that your profile has been raised a little bit and money's coming in, you're going to be able to do more things facility-wise and things of that nature. People talking about Gary Patterson, Gary Patterson would be a good coach to go to Arkansas. Why?
Yeah,
he's got exactly what he needs at TCU. Maybe if we're talking hypotheticals, I could see Patterson going from TCU to Texas, but Texas is one of those like top tier jobs. For more often than not, I would look at TCU and put another school next to it and say TCU has everything it needs to be successful, everything it needs to win. And if we're not talking about a national championship, we're talking about competing for a Big 12 title and going and eventually being part of college football playoff. If I'm Gary Patterson, they love you there. You have probably great job security. Not probably. You do have great job security. To me, there's no reason 99% of the time to leave for another job. So I think he's got it great there. I think it's a great relationship they've built.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so the third team in that group that you mentioned is Oklahoma State. I kind of think that this might be the team, if I had to pick one right now, this is probably who I'd roll with to win the conference. You know, they've got a decent amount of talent back on both sides of the ball. I think that Mike Gundy's actually proven himself, like a lot of these coaches in the Big 12, to be a really, really good, you know, kind of program builder. He's got them in something of a plug and play kind of scenario, is particularly with that offense. I mean, you know, what is it about the Cowboys that stands out to you?
Well, I think when we start talking about great programs and great teams, the one thing that to me that's always sort of in common is that they always have a great identity. They know exactly who they are, and that filters all the way down to how you recruit, what kind of players you get. You know, they fit in what you want to do offensively and defensively, and it helps it that they've gone into, you know, to T. Boone Pickens' pockets, and then they pulled out the Taj Mahal of facilities in the Big 12, and I would say in the country as well. And Gundy's a great coach, but they've really cemented themselves in Texas and in North Texas and in East Texas a little bit, where there's a lot of talent, and they just have it going. They know exactly who they are. They know exactly what they want to do. And what's always kind of interesting to me is they get these players that weren't always necessarily, you know, at the top of the recruiting list at the time that they signed with Oklahoma State, but they've turned them into major productive guys. You know, Justin Blackmon unless I am remembering incorrectly, like Justin Blackmon wasn't a five-star receiver getting offers from 50 schools around the country. So they know exactly what they're doing, and just, you know, it's kind of hard to argue when you know who you are and you know what you want to accomplish. I think once you can get past that first step, it makes everything, you know, infinitely easier.
Does all the turnover on the coaching staff, I mean, this is a team that has a new offensive coordinator, a new defensive coordinator. Does that concern you at all?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Probably more on the defensive side, just because that's where Gundy doesn't have the voice. You know, I mean, he's been such a, you know, important part of that offense, and not to mention, at least from a track record standpoint, it seems like they've plugged in guys all right, you know, on that offensive coordinator side of the ball. It seems like they can put in anybody. I could probably be their offensive coordinator and score 5 points a game. I mean, they seem to, like, again, I think from an identity standpoint, they know what they want and what they can do. Defensively is a concern with Glenn Spencer, and, you know, they let Bill Young go, and last year was kind of weird because it's not like they've ever been great on defense, but they've been good at forcing turnovers, and especially in that, you know, it was a 2011, you know, they were great at forcing turnovers, and that was a real big part, you know, of their success, and just I don't think last year it was there. And so when you're – I always get a little – I think maybe this is just me in general, but I always, when you're talking about filling a vacancy, when you're promoting someone from within, you know, you're taking a chance on them. You know, you're giving them more responsibility. And he, you know, Glenn Spencer was the co-defensive coordinator last year, so, you know, he has some experience. But now you're giving him the whole thing and giving him the putting him in charge of play calling, and so it's concerning. When I say I pick Oklahoma State as one of my top three, I sort of feel like I shouldn't have them there, but for some reason, like, I can't shake it. Like, they just seem like they're primed to win it all. And it's more of, I can list down the reasons why I think Texas is going to win. I can list down the reasons why I think TCU is going to win the Big 12. I can't quite do that with Oklahoma State. It's more of a gut feeling than anything else. And I'm not really quite sure why I'm so high on the Cowboys, but I just am. And maybe it's because Gundy's shown, you know, that he's done such a great job there.
Yeah, I think that they were a lot better team last year than their record probably indicates. They had some, I mean, they had some tough breaks. I mean, they played Oklahoma so close. I mean, you know, losing in overtime there. You know, I mean, they went to Baylor and nearly won, and that was a team that at the end of the year was as hot as anybody in the Big 12. I mean, it was a better team, I think, probably than people realized last year. Let's move to their in-state rivals, Oklahoma. This is a program that, you know, went through, has lost clearly some major contributors, guys like Landry Jones, who was a four-year starter at quarterback, Lane Johnson, one of the top picks in the last year's NFL draft. Defense was terrible last year. Is this? I mean, is it, I guess first questions first. Is Oklahoma in a spiral that you that they can get or that they can't get out of? I guess.
Well, the good thing about, traditionally speaking, the good thing about Oklahoma spirals, if they spiral down, it's not very far and it's not for very long. A down year in Norman is 8-5, and they get back up to 10 wins the next year. So I think that this has the formula for a little bit of a dip for the Sooners. Just a lot of question marks. I mean, they brought Stoops back on defense, and just it was not a very good effort last year. And that was, you know, that was a defense that had some talent on it. And now some of those guys are gone. I think Tony Jefferson's gone. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, well, you know, what do you do there? And offensively, obviously, the losses are pretty significant. Landry Jones was, yeah, I mean, he had the good Landry and the bad Landry thing. You know, that was kind of fun to make fun of, but. Yeah, that was a four-year starter, and he holds passing records, and I think he's one of those guys where if things go, if there's a learning curve and things aren't going real smoothly with Blake Bell, I think it's going to be real easy to start having some memories of Landry Jones where you go, man, maybe that guy wasn't so bad after all. You know, I think he did a lot of great things for the Sooners. I've put Oklahoma, and Oklahoma was one of those teams that I sort of had in that next tier where they're just so talented that individually that maybe you can't count them out. Maybe they can still win with the next guys in, but I've put them at about 8 or 9 wins this year. I think that's about what they're going to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think that sounds about right. And on top of that, the schedule is, I mean, it's rough, you know, going to Notre Dame, going to Baylor, going to Kansas State, going to Oklahoma State. I mean, those are certainly some tough teams there.
A lot of tough road games, and that's another team that I think could jump up and surprise you. Talk about plugging the pieces is, man, Baylor doesn't seem like they're going away. That wasn't a flash in the pan.
No, not at all. I mean, that team was so good down the stretch. I don't think people realize it. You know, I mean, since they played in that Holiday Bowl, it's one of those games, you know, that is late at night, you know, and it's not on New Year's Day or anything like that. But I mean, they took UCLA apart, you know, in UCLA's backyard. You know, they dominated Kansas State. You know, I mean, this was a very, very good team. I mean, Art Briles just seems to have it going there.
Yeah, they had a rough start, and I think they beat Louisiana Monroe early, but almost lost if I remember correctly. Louisiana Monroe had a pretty good team last year, but they caught on fire at the end of the year. And I sort of feel like, you know, if we can sort of think outside the realm of possibilities and what's, you know, actually viable for football, like let's say, you know, this was tournament style, like the Big 12 basketball tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd say Baylor had a chance to win the whole thing, you know, kind of going toward the end of the year. So they really got hot. Now they lose some of those guys, you know, like they lose Nick Florence. But again, it seems like Art Briles, I mean, he built it and he built it. And for the first few years, they couldn't really quite, you know, get over that hump. They couldn't quite show the signs that they were really, from in terms of the win-loss column, that they were really improving under Briles, even though they were. And then, you know, then you got that RG3 streak and all of a sudden you know, things just sort of took off for him. And now it seems like the pieces are in place where I don't know if they'll win the Big 12, but they can win somewhere between 7 and 9, maybe 10 games a year and put up 45 points a game in the process and be one of the most fun teams in the country to watch. I don't know if that's Baylor's ceiling. It might be, but if that's their ceiling, it's a hell of a lot better than where they were. Art Briles has just done a remarkable job there. I mean, that place was almost impossible to win in, you know, several years before he got there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the idea that we're even talking about Baylor as a mid-tier program right now is, it's a miracle in and of itself. I mean, he's done such a good job there. Do you think Lake Seastrunk is a potential Heisman candidate?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think he can be. He'll get his touches. And because I think he's going to be, as long as he stays, you know, injury free, he's going to be a real big part of that offense. And, TCU's defense, I think, has the potential to be pretty stout this year. Kansas State, they might not be the most athletic team in the Big 12, but, you know, obviously they're very fundamentally sound and they play really good defense. But, you know, you go through in Iowa State too with Paul Rhodes, but I think by and large, you go through the Big 12, you know, and you look at a guy like Lake Seastrunk and you go, man, that guy, I think more often than not, it's going to have a field day. If he can be, versatile enough that whether it's receiving out of the backfield or doing something in special teams, you know, if you're not a quarterback, I think you have to have something else. Unless you're Mark Ingram, where all you do is, mm-hmm. you know, you pound it ahead, you know, 30, 40 times a game and, you know, just get a whole boatload of touchdowns. I think you have to have some other dimension there. That's gonna give you a Heisman boost, and I think Seastrunk has the skill set. I think he's gonna get the responsibility. Absolutely, I think he can be a Heisman candidate. It feels like the pool's pretty deep this year,
yeah.
As far as Heisman candidates go.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Ben, I've taken up quite a bit of your time. What do you guys got going on over at College Football Talk right now?
Man, we're just dealing with the off-season stuff. You know, the Oregon situation was pretty big today, and actually I thought that was sort of interesting. It's sort of easy and a little bit cliche now to hammer on the NCAA. I thought, generally speaking, the ruling against the Ducks was okay. You know, they put most of the responsibility on Chip Kelly, which is where it should be. There's not much that show cause can really do for the next 18 months since Kelly's in the NFL and he's not going to go back to college anytime soon. But, you know, as far as a ruling standpoint goes, I thought that they did, the NCAA did okay. The problem is the enforcement arm is such a bad public image right now that it's impossible to win. I think anything you do is going to be criticized. But as we get closer toward season, we'll have some previews where we go in conference by conference and you know, maybe do some preseason and Heisman lists, that sort of thing. So, yeah, we're just, holding down the fort.
Yeah, well, season's almost here. You'll have plenty then. So, again, folks, that's Ben Kirchival. The site is collegefootballtalk.com. Ben, I really appreciate you coming on, man, helping me sort out the Big 12 here.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And thank you all for joining us, too, for CrystalBallRun.com. I'm Alan Kenny. See you.